Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. In our last program, we talked about John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 7. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, talked about Jesus healing a man who was blind from his birth, and he healed that man on the last great day. That has great significance because what it pictures is that the whole world has been blinded, with the exception of a very few people. The whole world has been blinded, and God will make the world to see on the last great day. And the world will see Jesus as their Savior, because now they will look at Him with eyes of faith. And they will look at Him with eyes of faith because they will have the Holy Spirit given to them, which enables us to see Jesus as our Savior. All right, so now I'm going to prove to you that this type here of this man being blind from birth and then being healed on the last great day, I'm going to prove to you that this blindness has been and continues to this day to be upon the majority of Gentiles and the majority of Israelites. It has been in the past, and in fact it really continues to this day. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 20 through 27. This is Matthew chapter 11 and verses 20 through 27. This is dealing with the Gentiles first. Now notice these words very, very carefully. It says, "Then Jesus began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done." Now where were most of his mighty works done? They were done in various cities in Israel. Okay? So Jesus is, in a sense, verbally chastising people because they have not repented, even though they saw his mighty works. That's what this story is about. So it says that Jesus, he began to upbraid or to chide the cities where most of his mighty works were done. Why? Because they did not repent after they saw these mighty works. So Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida!" And these are two cities in Israel. He says, "Woe to you, for if the mighty works which were done in your presence, in your sight, if those mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon..." Now where are Tyre and Sidon? Tyre and Sidon are in Gentile lands. So again, Jesus is talking to Israelites and saying that, "Woe to you, you haven't repented, even though you've seen the mighty works that I've done. Woe to you, because I'm telling you, I'm comparing you now to Gentile cities. If the mighty works which were done in your sight have been done in the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." Now he goes on and gives a second example. "And you, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven," so they have a high place, "you which are exalted to heaven, you shall be brought down to the grave. For if the mighty works which have been done in your sight had been done in Sodom..." Now where's Sodom? Sodom is in a land filled with Gentiles, or actually it was, because Sodom would have been destroyed at this time already, but it wasn't a place where Gentiles dwelt. So he says to Capernaum, a lofty city in Israel, he says, "You, Capernaum, which are exalted unto the heavens, you shall be brought down to earth, to the grave. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in a Gentile city of Sodom, then Sodom would have remained until this day, because they would have repented. But I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time Jesus answered and said, now catch this part, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have done what? If you don't have a Bible with you, please write down Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 27, because I want you to read this from your own Bible so that you know it's not just me making something up. Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus is saying, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good to do this in your sight. And God, we know, has all wisdom. So God, in his divine providence, in his divine wisdom, in his unmatchless wisdom, decided to hide things from the wise and prudent of the world. Now he goes on to say, Jesus, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows the Son. Please get this next part also. Please get this next part. No man knows the Son except the Father, and he to whosoever the Son will reveal him. What is that saying to you? Think about that just for a second. Jesus says that all things are delivered to him from his Father, but no man knows Jesus except the Father, so they know each other, but no other person knows Jesus except those to whom Jesus reveals himself. So it is God the Father directing Jesus the Christ to reveal himself to certain individuals. Now, if Jesus is revealing himself, that means that prior to him revealing himself, he had not revealed himself, which means that he was hidden from people. And that's what it said earlier, when Jesus said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent. So until Jesus reveals himself, he is hidden. That is the same thing that we see in John chapter 9, in verses 1 through 7, that a man was born blind, and it wasn't the fault of him, because he hadn't sinned when he was born or before he was born. And Jesus clearly said it wasn't his parents' fault that he was born blind. He said that this person was born blind so that the works of God should be made manifest in him at a certain time. And the works of God that were manifest in him is that this person's eyes were anointed by Jesus, and that after that anointing happened, his eyes were opened. And his eyes were opened on the last great day. This is the same thing that we see here in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 20 through 27. And that is that people, namely Tyre and Sidon and also Sodom, they were born in blindness. In other words, when each person in those cities, and these are Gentile cities, when they were born, they weren't born with the Holy Spirit. They couldn't see Jesus as their Savior because Jesus had not revealed himself to them yet. And the only way that we can see Jesus with eyes of faith is as if we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they weren't born with the Holy Spirit, so they didn't have the faith to see Jesus as their Savior. And so Jesus is saying that it's going to be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for those who have heard the gospel, seen the mighty works of Jesus, because he's flat out saying that if the people of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom had seen the works, the mighty works of Jesus, that they would have repented and therefore would not have been destroyed. Now think about that. Think about that for a second. If we're talking about Jesus, God the Father, the angel of the Lord, destroying, wiping out cities, wiping out people. These are individuals. If he's talking about wiping them out, how could he wipe them out if he did not even do great works in their midst to try to convince them that he was the Son of God? If he's hidden things from them, if he's not yet revealed things to them, if he didn't appear to them, and if he doesn't appear to each generation of people in each city all throughout human existence, then in a sense we could say that's not fair because people don't have a chance to repent. Well, the reason why it is fair, the reason why this is God's wisdom, is because God is saying, yes, these people have been wiped out, they've been destroyed, but not permanently. These people haven't been cast into the lake of fire. No, they will be resurrected on the last great day, and they will be resurrected to judgment. Now, judgment does not mean condemnation. They will be judged, as we're going to see later, by the works that they do. And if their works are found good, then they will be written into the book of life, which means, obviously, they still have a chance at salvation, and it will be their first chance. They have not had their first chance because God has hidden himself from them. God has not revealed himself to them, and so therefore they have not had their first chance at salvation. They will have their first chance at salvation during the last great day. This is the time when God will heal people's blindness, but he has reserved people in blindness so that the works of God should be made manifest in them during the last great day, just like the man who was born blind so that the works of God should be made manifest in him on the last great day. For him, his physical blindness was removed. For people who will be in the second resurrection, which is a resurrection to physical life, these people will have the spiritual blindness removed from their eyes. And that is why the last great day is called the last great day, because God will do great works at that time for all people who never had a chance to see the mighty works of God. And people will repent at that time. So that is why it's called the last great day, because God is going to do the greatest work. He's going to put forth the greatest effort to save the greatest number of people at that time. And how good and how great is our God and his wisdom for doing such a wonderful thing. Now in our next program, we're going to talk about the blindness that God has put on the Israelites. And we're also going to see that blindness will be removed from them. That's in our next program. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.